Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Thank you very much indeed for that, Neil. Now, 16 Palestinians have been killed in less than 2 days in the West Bank by the Israeli military, making it the deadliest IDF operation since the 7th of October. Today alone, the IDF said they'd killed five Palestinian fighters inside a mosque in the West Bank city of Tulkarm. The latest fighting came as the EU foreign policy chief, Josep Borrell, said he'd asked union members to consider imposing sanctions on some Israeli ministers for what he called hate messages against Palestinians. I spoke just before coming on air with Yehuda Shaul, who's the co-founder of OFEC, the Israeli Centre for Public Affairs. He's also one of the co-founders of Breaking the Silence, a group made up of former Israeli soldiers dedicated to exposing what they see as the realities of Israeli treatment of Palestinians in the occupied territories. I first asked him about the upsurge in violence in the West Bank.
I would say, you know, first and foremost, this is obviously a response to developments on the ground in the West Bank. And this is exactly the kind of trajectory post-October 7 that many of us feared, which is a further escalation in the West Bank that could possibly explode and then open another front. Sadly enough, I do believe that there are people in the Israeli government who actually want this to happen. And I think that's part... Yeah, this is also part of what we see in terms of the behavior of settlers and attacks in Palestinian communities in a way of trying to kind of like heat up the West Bank also in order to push forward more extreme political plans, even vis-a-vis the West Bank, not only Gaza and what's going on in Lebanon.
When you say there are people in the Israeli government who want this to happen, do you think the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, wants it to happen?
I don't think Benjamin Netanyahu wants the West Bank to explode, but I do think that Minister of Finance, Bezalel Smotrich, or Minister of National Security, Ben-Gvir, definitely would like to see things heating up in the West Bank so they can pursue further, more extreme ideas they have for the West Bank.
And then when the EU Foreign Affairs Chief, Josep Borrell, when he proposes sanctions to be imposed on some Israeli government minister for inciting hatred and war crimes and hate messages. Is that something, is he right on that track? Is he correct? Should that be done?
In my perspective, definitely yes. I think Bezalel Smotrich and Itamar Ben-Gvir, both ministers in our government, have crossed the lines in their behavior and statements. So I don't think it's only statements. It is right that as ministers, they've incited hatred. But I think it goes beyond that. We have Bezalel Smotrich, that is our Minister of Finance, that is pursuing policies that are attempted to basically dismantle the Palestinian Authority and Palestinian economy in the West Bank in order to lead to an explosion. I think Smotrich sees what happened, the horrendous massacres of October 7 as an opportunity for quote-unquote, a regime change in the West Bank and get rid of the Palestinian Authority, because that symbolizes the still paradigm and hope of the international community and Palestinians for a two-state paradigm.
And is that the aim, to end that that hope, that political hope and aim of a two-state solution to this conflict? Is that the aim?
For Smotrich, obviously. For Minister of Finance Smotrich, obviously, yes. He says it publicly. Before October 7, he spoke in favor of the long-term Netanyahu policy of weakening the Palestinian Authority and strengthening Hamas in Gaza and keeping that fragmentation of the Palestinian people. Yeah, there is a very famous interview on Israeli TV where he said that Hamas are an asset and the Palestinian Authority are a liability because the international community will not ask from Israel to negotiate with Hamas because it's considered a terrorist organization. While with the Palestinian Authority, the international community would pressure Israel for negotiations, which ultimately could lead to the worst thing ever in his eyes, which is a two-state solution.
And then in that situation, replace the regime, the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank, with what? What is his idea?
So Bezalel Smotrich is known for what is called the decisiveness plan. In 2017, he published a very long article, an essay, in one of the right-wing magazines in Israel. It's called the Shiloach, where he laid down his plan, which is called the decisiveness plan, where he basically argues that between the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan River, everything needs to be Israel. And Palestinians will basically have to have three options. One is if they accept life as second class without full political rights, they can stay and remain under Jewish sovereignty. Second is if they want to immigrate, we are very, you know, we're good people after all. We're willing to give them a nice immigration package and support them in migration. And the third option is if they're going to stay and not accept what he called basically life without political rights, he called it a deficit in democracy. That's how he called it. Every normal people like us would call it apartheid, institutional apartheid. But he called it a deficit in a democracy where you have millions of people without rights, without political rights. They will resist us, the army will know what to do, meaning we'll kill them, we're expelled them by force. So this is the future.
So when we are here, can I ask you this, Yehuda Shaul? When we are here hearing reports of 40,000 plus killed in Gaza, Palestinians, many of them men and women and children, civilians, displaced many, many times with inadequate humanitarian aid and health supplies and so on. And we're shocked at that. Is there the same level of shock and anger among the Israeli population?
No, sadly enough, no. I think, first of all, many Israelis do not see the reality in Gaza. And the images that you see in Ireland and around the world, and people and Israelis like me who watch international TV sites and, you know, and news sites and read on social media from people coming in Gaza and human rights organization reports, etc. We are exposed to one version of reality, while the majority of Israeli Jews don't see Gaza in this way, unfortunately.
The head of Israel's security agency, Shin Bet, warning Israel's leaders that Jewish terrorism in the West Bank is out of control and has become a serious threat to national security. When you hear of warnings like that, what do you think of?
I would actually argue that it's not out of control. I would argue that this is the reality in the West Bank. And sadly enough, this is the direct and natural result of years where soldiers who serve in the occupied territories in the West Bank are ordered not to enforce law on settlers, where some parts of the settlers are integrated into the security forces and enjoy complete impunity. We cannot expect that after 50 years of lawlessness, suddenly someone will be able to control the scale of the size of the flame. That's a direct result of Israeli policy for decades of almost complete blanket impunity to settlers attacking Palestinians. I remember my time as a combat soldier, as an infantry soldier in the West Bank during the peak of the Second Intifada, 2001-2004, I served. And our orders, just like the orders of the soldiers today in the West Bank are, you see a settler attacking a Palestinian, not our job. That's the job of the Israeli police. You have basically in the same territory two communities, Israeli settlers and Palestinians, living under two different legal systems, Palestinians under military law, settlers under Israeli civilian law, enforced by two different executive benches. So the army forces, basically, the army is enforcing law on Palestinians. The police are supposed to enforce law on settlers. So as soldiers, our orders were not to intervene.
Can I put this question to you? And perhaps if an Israeli government spokesperson were listening to you, they would say, well, why doesn't Yehuda Shaul talk about the Israeli hostages, the Hamas terror, the regional threat to Israel and Jewish people? They might claim that you're a traitor. What is the response to that?
So first of all, I do talk about Hamas terror, and I do talk about the hostages, and I have friends who were murdered on October 7th by Hamas around Gaza, and I have family members who are now in the security forces and friends who are serving now, and I do campaign for the hostages. The truth is, if you bring up the hostages, the matter of fact is that one of the main barriers to a deal is our own government. It's our own prime minister. Yeah, for his political survival, he is preventing any deal that can end this war and bring back the hostages.
It's been very insightful to listen to you, I must say. Yehuda Shaul, co-founder of Breaking the Silence. Thank you very much indeed for joining us in Drive Time.
Thank you for having me.